So, Frank Flynn, Governor Gina Raimondo this year proposed some changes that would have increased funding for traditional school districts and reduced funding for charter schools. After some last-minute adjustments at the State House, from your perspective, how did the final budget shake out when it comes to funding for schools?
Well, overall, the budget was great for public education this year. There was about $39.1 million in new funding that impacted most every district positively. There were a number of increases in categorical aid, such as special education, English language learners. With respect to charter schools, there was a committee last year that was put together by the governor that looked at the discrepancy between charter school costs and traditional public schools and tried to address that. And they came up with a formula that we think, you know, provided some relief to the local districts in the amount of money that they pay towards the charter schools.
Now, we'll talk more about charter schools in a little bit, but let's turn for a moment to school buildings themselves. Across Rhode Island, there's been a lot of talk about the need to upgrade school buildings. The state has a lot of older school facilities, and last year, Governor Raimondo created a new school building authority that was supposed to help with this. Are you seeing an impact from that?
There were $40 million proposed in her budget for this year that wasn't funded by the House. We're led to believe that the reason is there's a study committee going forward that's going to look at all of the needs in a more systematic manner. But the needs are staggering, the amount of money that they need to retrofit all of the schools in our district, particularly some of our older schools in cities such as Providence, Pawtucket, Cranston, West Warwick. Some of the buildings are approaching 100 years old and need new windows, new energy systems, new ventilation systems. They're in deplorable condition, new plumbing. And now we have some water concerns that we have with the plumbing that with lead pipes that are, you know, very old, that they could present safety issues. So we need to look at this as a state. It needs to become a priority for us.
Let's talk about legislation proposed for a second time this year that would make it much harder to open new charter schools and expand existing charter schools. Now, lawmakers considered more than one bill. One of those bills did pass. Frank Flynn, can you explain what it does?
Okay. It was a compromise bill. For the past several years, a priority of ours has been to get the Department of Ed, as well as the General Assembly, to look at the expansion of charter schools and make sure that there's a need for them educationally and also the impact it would have on local cities and towns. This bill does that, while at the same time, it allows charter schools to expand within the footprint that they currently have without local approval. And it also asks them to make sure that any new schools or charter networks of schools that are proposed have the approval of each city and town that would be named in that catchment area. And that was part of the problem that arose out of both the situation that happened in Woonsocket and then Kent County. Within the last 2 years, we had school districts who were named as part of charter districts that the local cities and towns were in fiscal distress. The school department's budget was stretched to the limit, and yet now they were going to lose students to a charter school.
What would you say, though, to parents whose children attend charter schools and who feel that those schools are much better than their other options, and to parents who want to put their kids in charter schools who are frustrated at what they perceive to be a lack of high-quality available options for their children?
Well, I think we have public schools in every district. I think if there are problems in the public schools, then we need to address those problems rather than creating parallel school districts within each district. We need to, you know, look at the resources that need to be allocated, what the issues are. By culling off, you know, a small number of students and providing them with an opportunity of something else and not providing that opportunity to everybody, it creates a problem for the rest of the students and doesn't improve the overall educational prospects in any municipality or in the state.
Let's talk for a minute about recess. Lawmakers passed and the governor signed a bill requiring 20 minutes of recess per day for elementary school students. Do you support this bill?
Well, I think the parents that raised this issue raised a very good point that they believe that every student needs to have some time within the school day to unwind. And you know, every kid loves, that's probably their favorite time of the day in most kids' day. So
kids do tell me that sometimes.
And it does provide, something that's beneficial to the students. I think the bill, as it was originally presented, had some problem areas. One was that it couldn't be withheld for any reason, and we had a problem with that because we believe there are times when in a teacher's professional judgment, they need to keep a child in for, it could be disciplinary reasons, it could be health and safety reasons, it could be because there was an academic reason where the student needed additional support, or that piece has been eliminated.
There's a perception out there that I hear sometimes from parents and in op-eds that school has become all work and no play. A lot of schools don't have mid-morning recess anymore. What has happened to recess, and are parents right to be concerned about that?
In general, schools now are much more academically oriented. I think there's been such an emphasis on adhering to a strict curriculum, and the testing components are going to reflect whether or not you're reaching the standards that those curriculums are supposed to be implementing, have raised the emphasis on more time on task. That's probably what's driving all of this. I think teachers try their best, try to make school as enjoyable as possible, while at the same time, you know, make sure the students are getting the skills that they need to be getting. During the course of a day, if you have too many transitions, it becomes disruptive and takes time off task. So this, many districts have tried to make it at least just one. You go to lunch and then a recess conjoined to that, and it makes it easier. But it's a local decision.
Frank Flynn is president of the Rhode Island Federation of Teachers, one of the state's two teachers unions. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.